chapter 10. It's hard to believe that you stand before a pulpit for 31 years. That's quite a few years. I don't know how many of you guys had a job for 31 years. Anybody have the same job 31 years? One person in the back, amen. And he's retired, but anyway, or just tired. But I'm glad you're here today, and I'm glad I'm here today. And I was down to camp a couple weeks ago, and when I was pulling out of camp, I just took time to smell the roses, you know what I mean? I just kind of drove out of camp slowly and just was hoping another year to serve God, amen. And what a blessing. What a blessing is to have good health and be able to keep on going, amen. And or some people say keep on trucking, amen. So anyway, God has required for his creation some very, very amazing things. I have been around the world and many times, and I have seen other religions and see the frightful things that they have to do to stay, quote-unquote, in the confines of that religion. I've seen people literally sacrifice their own lives, sacrifice their families' lives, sacrifice their economy just to make sure that they stay confined into that area so they can call themselves a goat. They're a good person or a good religion, the person they have, and hoping that maybe by luck they may find nirvana or they can find their heaven. But it is amazing as you study the Word of God how simple Christianity really is. Aren't you glad about that? You know, the Hindus have over 1.5 million different idols, and then they say there's a lot more. They just haven't discovered them yet. But thank God that we have a God that says, I am God. I am the creator. I am the sustainer of this world. And I am glad about that. I'm glad that I don't have to figure out who in the world I'm going to pray to. I can get on my knees and pray to God Almighty and through my Lord Jesus Christ, and I can find mercy in time of need. And the scripture teaches over in Deuteronomy chapter 10, he said, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee?" And I thought, when I was reading that scripture, I thought, boy, that's good. What does the Lord require of me? Everybody loves a job description. It's always nice to know what you're supposed to be doing. What are you doing that for? Well, this is my job. Oh, okay. You know, it's what we're supposed to do. Many of you guys in the military, you know what a TO is, and you know it's very nice to pull that old book out and, yep, this is exactly what it is, because when you follow the TO, you don't get in trouble. And some of you guys just went through that horrendous week and couple weeks of, inspection. And everybody that did what the TO said is cool. If you did not go by the book, it ain't cool. And the scripture, can I say that this is our TO? The Word of God is the book that we go by. It is our standard of faith and practice. It is our living Word that God speaks to us as we read it. We get on our knees and speak to Him, but we take our Bible down and we read it and we hear from Him. And therefore, He says, "Hey, Israel, this is what's required of you." And I think that my antenna went up, you know, the lights went on, and said, "Wait a minute. There are some things that God expects me to do." He expects His creation. You know, everything God made, there's a purpose in God made. I want to ask Him about snails and mosquitoes. I'm definitely going to ask him about snakes.
Yeah.
And pickers. And jiggers. I'm going to ask him about those things. And no-see-ums. Some of you have been around those things. I'm going to ask him about those things. But everything on this earth has a job description before God. And wouldn't it be a good idea that we would find out what that job description is? Some people just kind of, they just wander through life. They don't, they go from point A to point B and don't even know why they went to point B. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to waste my time on this earth that God has created me for His enjoyment, and God has created me to serve Him. I don't want to miss out on what I should be doing. So the Bible says, now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to, number one, fear the Lord thy God. Number two, to walk in His ways. Number three, and to love Him. Number four, and to serve the Lord thy God. Number five, with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Verse 13, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day, and I love what it says, for thy good. Everything in this world that God has given us, He has given to us for our good. You know, my dad used to say, now don't do that, and you wish you wouldn't have. Now, I don't know what you wish you wouldn't have meant. Quite a few times I found out what it meant, and it hurt. But anyway, for thy good. It's good for you. Take that medicine. Why? It's good for you. Drive on the right side of the road. It's good for you, unless you're in England. You know. Somebody said, you going to give her a tip? I'll give you a tip. Best tip I can give you, drive on the right side of the road if you're going home. But anyway, we have some things in our life that we should do, and we should be very careful of. And it's pretty bad for a Christian who calls himself a Christian, who's called by the name of Jesus Christ, who does not know the commandments of God. And I'm not just talking about the Ten Commandments. And by the way, those Ten Commandments are not suggestions. Those are commandments. But there's more commandments in the Word of God, and we should know about them. And it behooves us, number one, to know them. It behooves us to have some way to teach them. In fact, the Bible said that the Father would teach His children when they're laying down, when they're standing up, when they're in the way. We are to teach those precepts and statutes and the commandments of the Word of God, teach them to our children. Today we have an onslaught of failure of children going into drugs and paraphernalia and all kinds of junk out there. And I'm afraid to tell you that it's a parent fault. First of all, God did not call me to trust my child. God called me to guard my child, to lead my child, to be careful and protect my child, not to trust them. My boys just said, well, Dad, don't you trust me? I said, well, I can't even trust my own self. How can I trust you? Yeah, that's right. Amen. You're looking at him. I can't trust myself. I have to be constantly vigilant on the things of the Word of God. I mean, constantly got to keep it in the Word of God and seeing those things and the precepts of the Word of God that keeps me to keep going down that straight and narrow way. Because, boy, I'll tell you what, the Bible said our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And who can know it? And the things that happen to me in my life, the things that happen to you in your life, you wonder how in the world, and I'm wondering if that's not what Paul the Apostle said, and the mystery of iniquity. There's a mystery of iniquity. You ever wonder, why was I thinking about that? Has that ever happened to you in your life? What in the world? What's going on in my brain? What would I even think about that stuff? Well, I think that's what Paul was talking about, the mystery of iniquity. There's a mystery. We can't figure it out. We can't find the combination of it. We just are challenged by it. Everybody likes to have a job description. Everybody likes to know what they're expected of them. And everybody gains security when they know what they have to do. Because if I do that, then I am making sure my master or my father or my mother or whoever's responsible for me, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, that gives me security. I know I did it right. Years ago, I grew up on a farm in Michigan, and we had this brooder house. And brooder house was for where you raised your baby chicks. And my dad, we would have about 200 chickens every year. They'd come in the mail. Beep, 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 Tommy. And it was my job to make sure they're fed and they're watered and taken care of and at night shut in. That was my job, making sure the heat lamp was in there. How many of you have chickens? If you live in Great Falls, you can't. Shame on you. But anyway, that was my job. Every morning I'd come out, make sure they had water, make sure they had feed, and make sure the place was clean, and make sure the heater lamp was on. And I'd let them out, and they'd go around and just have a good old day at time. And at night, I'd come in and make sure the water's there about supper time. And make sure. And then when the sun would start going down, those little rats would go right back in that brooder house. I didn't teach them how to do that, but they did it. Every night, my dad would say, "Sheldon, did you shut those chickens in?" To his question, I would say, "Yes, Dad, I have." He said, "Great." Every night, from May until about August when we started butchering those chickens. So my dad said to me, "Are the chickens shut in?" "Yes, Dad, they're shut in." One day we were busy and we were haying and we got home and everybody's tired and I ran to bed and early in the morning, I heard this, "Sheldon, you get down there right now!" And he was mad. Now, my dad was never mad at me. I had three sisters, and I was the only boy. I was spoiled, I'll just tell you that much. I even smelled that way. And my dad said, "Come with me!" And his neck was all, you know, just balled up. "Come with me!" And I was about 12 years old. And I'm not awake yet. And it's early in the morning. And the dew is still on the ground. I mean, the sun is just coming up out of the east. And I'm wondering what in the world's going on. I went out and all of a sudden, I saw a lawn covered with dead chickens. I forgot to shut the chickens in. I forgot to do the statutes or the responsibility my dad had given to me. There's 200 baby dead chickens out there. Some dogs had got in and killed them that night. And my dad said to me, "Boy, what are you going to do with that?" He picked them up and he just threw them. He said, "What are we going to do about this?" And I started crying. I love those chickens. You're a farm boy. You have a little tender heart someplace in that old heart. And I just started crying. And he stopped right there, never said another word to me. And he said, "Well, we better get the manure loader and bring it over here and throw them in and we'll put them out in the field." I had not done what I was told to do. And you know, in Christians, many times in our lives, we don't shut the chickens in. Many times in our lives we go about doing our thing and we're busy doing this and we forget to read the Word of God. We forget to take time in prayer. We forget to listen to God. We forget to talk to God. And we're busy in our little life. And boy, especially during vacation time and especially during summertime, we're going. We're out of sync. We're out of schedule. And all of a sudden we get to the middle. We get it late at night. And we say, "Oh, I didn't have my Bible reading. I'll do it tomorrow." I'm going to tell you something. We're really in trouble, aren't we, when we do that? But when we do what we're supposed to do, that gives us security. Well, my dad would say, "Did you shut the chickens?" "Yeah, Dad." That just kind of made me feel good. Because once in a while, I'd forget. And he'd say, "Oh, Dad, I'm going to right out there and I'll do it." I come from college in my junior year, and I was a football player then. I was pretty bulked up. And my dad says, I forgot to shut the chickens in. And I said, Dad, I'm going to do it. And I ran out of the house and ran down towards the chicken. And all of a sudden, wham! I woke up looking at the stars. Two birdies were singing over the top of my head in the dark. I had two black and blue marks on my thigh right here. I ran through the electric fence that my dad forgot to tell me that was there. I came in. I said, Dad, I said, there's a fence. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Thank God. God never forgets to tell us. Amen. It's always there. I don't have that. Nothing to do with my sermon, but I just thought of that. Didn't your brain just, that must have been a mystery of iniquity they sent me right there. Amen. We are taught that it is our duty to practice Bible truths and biblical law for our life. Why? For thy good. I want to get that now. Why do I do this? For thy good. For my good. Not for God's good, but for my good, that I would serve God for my good. Hey, if I would have done what my dad said and made some chickens responsible, it was not his responsibility to tell me every night, remind me every night. He should have only had to tell me once. That became my job. And the scripture says, these things in the Word of God, we should be told once, and then we should live these principles the rest of our life. Wouldn't you say amen to that? Secondly, we are taught that it is our duty to God, our principles, and our practice in this life to love Him. Literally, to delight in our communication with Him. Why? For thy good. Thirdly, we are taught that it is our duty to God, in principle and practice, to walk by the example of Jesus Christ walked when He was on earth. Why? For thy good. We must serve Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with our mind. Why? For our good. Isaiah 43:7. Even everyone that is called by my name, I have created him, listen now, for my glory. God said, I created you for my glory. I wonder about that sometime when I look around here. But anyway, trying to have some fun here, folks. Help me out now. But He said, I created you for my glory, for God's glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. So anything that happens to me in my life, it's written about me, is it? It's about him. Because I am not made for me, I was made for him, that I may glorify my Heavenly Father every moment, every breath that I take. Let me ask you this. Let's pull over and park a minute. How are you doing this week? How did you do last week? Everything you did, everything you bought, everything you accomplished, was it to the Lord's glory or was it for you? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. If you have a pencil, I'd write that down. Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that you should walk in them. God says, you'd do good. How many good works did you do this week? Now remember, good works does not save you. You don't get to heaven because of what you did. You get to heaven because of what He did. You all know that. Not a worthless any man should boast. It's a gift of God. But James said, these by your works ye shall know them. Amen. Scripture says, by their fruit you shall know them. Right. So what kind of good works did you do this week to promote the cause of Jesus Christ? What are the things in your life did you do that the Lord Jesus Christ was glorified, and people said, well, praise God for so-and-so. Instead of saying, boy, he's a so-and-so. A little trick on words, thought I'd help you out. Everybody's waiting for that picnic I see this morning. Man, I'm going to get in line and get that first hot dog. Amen. Number five, it is true that when we do His service cheerfully, listen now, when we do His cheerfully, and with goodwill, it becomes a joy to serve Jesus. I will tell you, in the 31 years, I'll even go back all the way to 44 years ago, I will tell you, it has been a joy to serve Jesus. It has been a wonderful pleasure to serve God. It's been a great opportunity of mine to be a pastor. I don't want to do anything else but be a pastor. I love being a pastor. Let me tell you, you cannot fool a kid. You can't fool a child. You can fool people, but you can't fool kids. I just want you to know that this morning my kids know that preacher loved being a preacher, because I don't know how many of them hugged me up here and said, "I love you, preacher." They are God's spies. They see right through you. They have X-ray vision. They drive you crazy because you do wrong at home and they're going... What do you mean we're not going to church tonight? You know what that preacher said. Shut up, kid. You're bothering me. They know you. I will tell you, there's nothing greater than to serve God. Let me tell you something. Every person in this auditorium today can serve God in your way that God's called you to serve. You can be happy about it. You can be joyful about it and enjoy the blessing, as the Scripture says, for thy good. Or you fix dinner and you're griping and complaining, kicking the dog, biting the cat, screaming and yelling at the kids. Dinner's got to be done and dishes got to be washed. Well, should be washed. It's got to get done. You're going to do it. You got a kid? I'll guarantee you, you'll change their oil and filler. You got jobs to do with those kids. You don't say to the kid, "Hey, it says for 20, 30 pounds, you can't leave them in that diaper first." But anyway, it's not the way it works. Someone's got to clean that diaper. Someone's got to dispose of that rancid waste. I guess that's the best way to put it. And when that baby's clean, you're happy and it's happy. Little side note. When my wife and I were talking about having babies, I said, "I'll tell you what, baby. You give me boys and I'll take care of them. You get girls, you take care of them." She gives me three boys. I changed more diapers than my wife ever thought about changing. That's my child. What a privilege and pleasure it is to have children. But somebody's got to take care of them little rascals. Same way in life. Life is wonderful, and sometimes it gets kind of stinky. I guess that's not very good pulpit words. How can I say? Sometimes life gets a little bit of the wrong kind of aroma. Like you said, the best one is. And life really gets pretty tough sometimes. And you don't want you to turn. But I will tell you something. God said, "You keep my commandments, you keep my statutes, you keep my precepts for thy good." By the way, I have found that whether you're a Christian or not, you're going to go through problems in this world. Christians have flat tires. And so the unsaved have flat tires. And you can get out of that truck and cuss that truck all you want, and you kick the tire and break your big toe, and be so mad that tire went flat, and get underneath that truck and find some way, somehow, to get that tire down out of that rack. And you don't know where the jack is. And then you don't know where the handle is. You just try to have a flat tire. You don't know which way to turn. Or you can get out and say, "You know, Lord God, I don't understand this, but I'm going to thank you for it. I could have been in a wreck. I could have done something I shouldn't have done. And you've allowed me to stop and I'm going to fix his tire. The same with life. Problems come to you, and things come to you. So much of eternity is going like, good night. Is my whole world turning upside down? Yes! Will it ever be the same? No! So do what my friend said. When someone throws you a lemon, grab it, cut it in half, squeeze it, get some sugar and water, and have a party. Amen. When life comes to you and it looks like it's just so crazy, there is a lesson to be learned, and it did not surprise God what's happened to you right now. That doesn't surprise God. Does God know everything? Absolutely. When we gripe and complain, it doesn't do you any good. Because the more you gripe, the more mad you get, the more people think it's funny. Grace and truth and peace and long-suffering and trusting God and say, dear God, I don't understand. You told me in James that if I don't understand, I can come to you and ask wisdom. You will not upbraid me or you will not whoop me. You will give me the wisdom I need to get through one more step in life. Number six, we must keep His commandments. There is true honor and pleasure in obedience. Honor and pleasure in obedience. When you're at work and someone in higher authority come by and you pop a salute to them and you do it the best you can, Christians ought to have the shiniest shoes and spit-polished shoes and the best uniform and clean. They'll look the best. And they ought to come to attention the best. Yes, you should, amen. Shame on if you aren't. But when you're asked to do something, you do it with honor and pleasure in obedience. I love this song. There is joy in serving Jesus. As I journey on my way, joy that fills my heart with praises every hour, every day. There is joy in serving Jesus, joy that triumphs over pain. Fills my heart with heaven's music till I join the glad refrain. There is joy in serving Jesus as I walk along with God. 'Tis the joy of Christ my Savior who the path of suffering trod. There is joy in serving Jesus, joy amid the darkest night. And there's some dark nights. You'll have some real dark nights. If you haven't, you will. For I've learned the wondrous secret, and I'm walking in the light. There is joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus, joy that throbs within my heart every moment, every hour, as I draw upon His power. There is joy, joy, joy that never will depart. What an honor it is to serve the Lord. But the greatest honor is this, is when duty is called, we're called to duty. When we're called to do some things that are out of the ordinary and we're called to do things that other people just don't understand us. And there are times that when we are doing things that people will laugh at us and they'll scave us and they'll say, well, you're not much of a Christian if that's what you're doing. Hey, let me tell you something. I am a servant of Jesus Christ. I am a soldier of Christ. I take my orders from my Savior. I take my orders from this book right here. And whether you like it or not, I'm going to go by the book. And you will answer to God, and I will answer to God what I'm doing. That's what I've tried to do the last 31 years. Thus saith the Lord God. I'm not popular. I'm not appreciated by many people who now have left that beautiful, beautiful road to trot for the Lord Jesus Christ, and it just kind of fell off. But I want to still keep on going and keep on serving and keep on smiling and keep on just smiling. The whole world wonder what I'm up to, amen? And you might as well enjoy it. Because I tell you what, there's always critics. And the critics are people that are sitting back doing nothing, looking for something that make you look bad so they're not looking so bad themselves. The shakers and the movers of Christianity, and I don't know if that's probably a very good way to say it, but the shakers and movers of Christianity are those who are doing it. They're in the trenches. They're out serving God. They really don't care what you think about them. They're just doing what they're supposed to do. Week after week after week. They're cleaning the bathrooms. They're sweeping the floors. They're making sure the buses are running. They're making sure little boys and little girls get on the buses. They're making sure our widows of our church are taken care of. They're taking care of their pastor, taking care of his wife. They're just out there doing something. You have no foggy. And what in the world, when you have the opportunity to criticize those people, they're doing right, and you're doing nothing. Shame on you. That's what my sisters used to do to me. I said, yeah, three fingers pointing back to you. Hey, it's a joy to serve Jesus. It is a pleasure to serve Him because you know what? Our inheritance is out of this world. I know that's kind of corny, but it's true. Closer you get to Him, happier you're going to be, the more disliked you're going to be to the world because you convict them of their way. You're convicting them. Hey, what'd you do today? Well, I went hunting. What'd you do? I went to church where I'm supposed to be on Sunday. Hello! Haven't you read your Bible? Smile. The whole world will know what you're up to. God's good all the time. All the time. Don't ever forget it. Does God know what it's about, what you're doing? God know your heart? You can't judge my motive. You may judge my action, but you can't judge my motive. You don't know why I did that. In fact, I can't judge your motive either. Only God knows my heart. Aren't you glad about that? Well, I am. I'm glad about that. Well, we're supposed to be out right now, 12:15. But I didn't preach last week, so I thought I'd give you a little extra there, amen. Hey, let me ask you a question. If you're here today and if you die, are you 100% on your way to heaven? I just performed my cousin's funeral. He was 73 years old, driving his Harley, just having a great time. Car in front of him, car coming at him, clipped the first motorcycle coming to him, hurt that guy's leg, cut the leg of a young 14-year-old girl, and piled straight into my cousin. He went 60 feet in the air and landed, killed instantaneously. His aorta was ripped from his heart. Great shape, worked out every day. World-renowned oral surgeon, university teacher, just starting a new, I mean, he was just a 73-year-old looking like he was 30. I'm telling you, he had not one moment to cry out and say, God, save me. Now, let me say this. What if you were in the same situation if you died right now? Are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven or you have a doubt? That's what we're here for. We want to help you. We want to show you what the Bible says. By the way, it is required of man to know Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's promise. I hope today that you know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. If not, hey, you've come to the right place because we want to show you. And that, we kind of specialize that here at the Baptist Church. And I hope that you'll receive Jesus as Savior. In a moment, I'm going to have you pray. And if you're here today and you're not sure to save, I'm going to have you stand. I'm going to ask you to meet me up front here. I'll take you by hand. I'll show you from the Word of God. I have somebody that knows exactly about the Word of God, shows how to get saved. And you can be saved and sure you're going to heaven when you walk out of this building. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the promise of the Word of God. Help us, Lord Jesus, realize that these things were written for our good. And I pray, Holy Father, today that we would get saved. It's for our good because we have no idea for our destiny. We have no idea for a moment that we're going to take our last breath and that heart is going to stop for the last time and never take another tick. Dear God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts today in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand. You're standing here today and you say, Preacher, I am not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know if I die today that I'd be there. And I want to make sure of that. So today, if you're not sure you're saved, I want to help you. I want you to step out of that seat, walk down this aisle right here, right now, right now, that you can know that you're on.